my place in tech changes every day. But I don't fear the future, because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts, so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Welcome back to AI Unraveled, your strategic daily briefing on the business impact of AI on November 26th, 2025. Today, the industry is grappling with a potential paradigm shift. The biggest story? The godfather of AI has spoken. Ilya Sutskever has declared that the age of scaling is ending. This suggests that simply throwing more compute at models is no longer the path to AGI, a statement that forces a complete rethink of enterprise infrastructure strategy. Speaking of infrastructure, the mudslinging has begun. NVIDIA has officially responded to Google's chip advancements, claiming their GPUs remain a generation ahead of Google's TPUs in terms of versatility. And if you are worried about the talent gap, you should be. Anthropic revealed today that Claude Opus 4.5 didn't just pass a performance engineer hiring exam, it scored higher than any human candidate ever. We are breaking down the HP layoffs, the Warner Music surrender to Suno, and the new Gemini benchmarks. But before we start, stop marketing to the masses. Start briefing the C-suite. Leverage our zero-noise intelligence to own the conversation in your industry. Secure your strategic podcast consultation now by emailing us at info@jamgatech.com or fill the form in the show notes. Let's unravel the AI Daily Business News Rundown.
Today, we're analyzing a massive strategic divergence that's happening right now in the AI industry. It's this fundamental disagreement about where the next big breakthroughs are going to come from and, you know, how hundreds of billions of dollars are being allocated based on that.
Exactly. It's so much more than just, you know, let's build bigger data centers. Mm-hmm. We're looking at a real fork in the road. Some of the biggest players are, they're betting on two completely different futures.
So our goal for this deep dive is to get into the source material and pull out what we see as three critical tensions. First, there's the strategic conflict, this idea that the age of scaling might be over, and we're back to pure research.
Then you have the financial conflict. You see Meta making this controversial multi-billion dollar bet on superintelligence, and investors are, well, they're deeply skeptical about where the money is going to come from.
Right. And third, the hardware conflict. It's intense. You've got NVIDIA fighting to keep its dominance with GPUs against custom chips like Google's TPUs.
And to give you a sense of the sheer speed that's driving all this, think about this for a second. Anthropic just tested their new model, Claude Opus 4.5, on a technical hiring exam. It scored higher than any human candidate ever.
Wow.
So that performance leap, it's real, and it makes having a clear strategy just urgent.
Okay, let's unpack all that. Mm-hmm. And let's start with that fundamental shift in philosophy. It's coming from one of the most respected minds in AI.
Yeah, we have to start with Ilya Sutskever. He's the founder of that secretive startup, Safe Superintelligence, or SSI. What he said recently on the Dwarkesh podcast, it's basically a new strategic direction for the whole industry.
He's making the case that the last 5 years, say 2020 to 2025, that was the age of scaling.
Right.
A time when you could just throw more compute, more GPUs, more data at a problem, and you'd automatically get a smarter model. He says that age is ending, like definitively.
And he believes the new paradigm is all about research breakthroughs. He's talking about architectural changes, finding a totally new ingredient, a new recipe. He said scaling was just like making the pot bigger and hoping for better soup.
So now the focus has to go back to core computer science, to real innovation. He's positioning his company, SSI, as an age of research company.
And this has, radical implications. Sutskever is forecasting the arrival of a superhuman-like AI, something that learns in a new way in the next 5 to 20 years.
And his conviction, it carries a lot of weight in the market. We know SSI is raising funds at a $32 billion valuation?
That's the reported number, yeah. And critically, they turned down an acquisition offer from Meta. That rejection, it just screams confidence in their own, you know, research-first approach.
The key thing for you, the listener, to understand here is that this declaration comes at a really awkward time for everyone else. Most of the tech giants are still pouring massive capital, hundreds of billions, into scaling up infrastructure.
They're still betting on brute force.
Exactly. And Sutskever is basically saying their core bet is already outdated. This is that strategic fork in the road.
And that split, that divergence, leads us straight to the biggest financial drama of the week, which is Meta's spending plan. It's a plan that just completely contradicts Sutskever's whole thesis.
The numbers here are just stunning. Meta reports really strong earnings, right? Revenue up 26%, $20 billion in profit. Normally, the stock would soar. Instead, it tanked 12%.
Whiting out over $200 billion in market value in 2 days.
And it wasn't the quarterly numbers. It was the forecast, the capital expenditure.
Yeah.
Meta raised its 2025 CapEx to $70 or $72 billion. And then Zuckerberg says 2026 will be notably larger.
Some reports are even suggesting a total spend of up to $600 billion over the next 3 years.
$600 billion. Let's just pause on that. When you hear that figure, Zuckerberg's lack of a specific revenue plan starts to feel pretty alarming.
And that's the core of the problem. That's what spooked investors. They kept asking him on the earnings call, what products are you building? When do they make money to justify this? And his justification was just vague. We need compute for superintelligence.
Yeah, that's not going to fly. Vague promises like massive latent opportunity and we'll have more to share in a few months. The market just completely rejected that long-term faith-based argument. They want a clear roadmap.
And the backup plan he offered only made it worse. He said, well, if superintelligence takes a bit longer, we'll use all this compute to make our core ad business maybe 20% more efficient.
But that is not the contingency plan you want to hear for a $600 billion bet.
Not at all. And you can't ignore the history here. It's this uncomfortable feeling of metaverse deja vu. It feels just like 2021, 2022, when they spent $36 billion on Reality Labs with no clear revenue. And the stock crashed then, too.
Right.
Investors hate spending without a clear return.
And the contrast with their competitors really highlights the issue.
Yeah.
Microsoft didn't get this backlash because they have Azure. They sell AI tools directly to businesses.
Right. There's a clear revenue path. And Google, they integrate AI right into search, which boosts their ad business now, not in 10 years.
But Meta, 98% of its revenue is still just ads on Facebook and Instagram. They don't have a big new AI product that's generating cash. They're betting their whole future on a paradigm that one of the smartest guys in the field says is already over.
Yeah, Meta's crash really shows you the market's focus on short-term returns. But while Wall Street is looking at the next quarter, governments are playing a much longer game. They're focused on strategic supremacy, profit or not. And that geopolitical pressure, it's what's fueling this global chip war.
That's a great point. You see the U.S. moving forward with this Genesis mission. It's a White House executive order to speed up national AI development, use federal data, create a secure platform for testing models.
And the language they're using. They're comparing the urgency to the Manhattan Project. The U.S. advantages are clear. You know, they have the advanced models, the talent pool, and the hardware restrictions against China.
But China is not just sitting back. They're making huge strides, especially with open source and low-cost models like Kimi K2 and DeepSeek.
And their real strength is in domestic integration. Because of their centralized digital services, they can weave AI into daily life incredibly quickly.
All of this ambition, both national and corporate, it all comes down to specialized hardware, which brings us right to the battle for chip dominance.
And we saw NVIDIA finally break its silence to defend its position. They're clearly reacting to reports that Meta might start looking elsewhere for its compute power.
Their claim is that their general-purpose GPUs are a generation ahead of custom chips. Specifically, they're talking about Google's tensor processing units, their TPUs.
NVIDIA's whole argument is about flexibility, fungibility. They're saying their general purpose chips offer more options than a specialized chip like a TPU. You might train one model faster on a TPU, but an NVIDIA GPU can be repurposed for thousands of different tasks.
It's like the difference between buying a flexible toolkit versus building a custom factory for one specific car.
Exactly. And this isn't just theory. Google proved their approach works. They trained their entire Gemini 3 model on their own chips. So the threat for NVIDIA is very real. Meta could just decide to rent compute from Google Cloud starting in 2026 and not buy NVIDIA chips at all.
So let's pivot from these strategic battles down to the immediate impact on the actual workforce, because we're seeing these huge productivity gains and job displacement happening at the exact same time.
This is where you see the economic value really clearly. Anthropic put out this research where they analyzed 100,000 conversations with Claude. Their estimate is that widespread AI adoption could boost U.S. labor productivity growth by 1.8% a year,
which would effectively double the current rate. That's a massive acceleration.
It is. The data shows Claude cuts the time it takes to do a task by about 80%. An average work request that took 90 minutes without AI, that timeline is just collapsing.
And the biggest gains are for software developers, right? They account for almost 20% of the total gains,
yeah,
followed by operations managers, marketing specialists.
The time savings are just wild. Curriculum development down 96%, research assistants down 91%.
But wait, if Anthropic is saying productivity is doubling, isn't that just a green light for a company like HP to say, great, we can get the same work done with half the people?
That is the central tension, absolutely. As Anthropic is touting this efficiency, the sources are detailing real job losses. HP announced they're cutting 4,000 to 6,000 staff by the end of 2028. They estimate it'll save $1 billion, and they specifically mentioned a shift to automation and agentic AI.
And we saw the exact same logic at X. They cut half of their trust and safety engineering team. There are fewer than 10 people left. And this came right after Elon Musk said he would fully replace X's heuristic algorithms with Grok.
Right. He's just letting the chatbot read and rank the content. It's the ultimate replacement of human oversight with AI enforcement. So you have this clear tension, doubling productivity for the economy while eliminating thousands of specific jobs.
Okay, let's quickly touch on some of the new frontiers,
yeah,
in model performance and, you know, real-world applications. On the benchmarks, Google's Gemini 3 Pro just set a new high score on tracking AI's offline IQ test, A130.
Which beats the previous record, Grok's 126. So the intelligence curve just keeps getting steeper.
And in the creative space,
Black Forest Labs dropped a new model called Flux 0.2. The key feature is multi-reference capabilities, so it can keep a character or a style consistent across up to 10 different images you give it. And the resolution and typography are much better.
And what's happening in music? Warner Music seems to have shifted from lawsuits to partnerships.
Yes. They settled their lawsuit with Suno, and they've signed a pact to actually compensate artists. They're planning to launch licensed models next year that will restrict audio downloads to people with paid accounts.
I want to go back to something for a second. The practical timeline for big scientific breakthroughs. You mentioned AlphaFold earlier. It was open sourced in 2021. What's its impact been, really?
It's been massive. It is accelerating the drug discovery phase, which used to take about 5 years down to just a few months.
Well, there are real examples of this, right? It's not just theory.
Oh, very real. It helped unblock a malaria vaccine candidate at Oxford. It helped in silico medicine identify a novel treatment path for liver cancer in 30 days.
So there's a catch.
Yeah. There is. And it's a crucial clarification for you to remember. AlphaFold gives you a high-resolution map for the discovery. It speeds up that initial research phase, but the FDA approval process, that still takes 10 to 15 years. That hard science barrier hasn't moved.
And finally, let's look at user experience. How are people actually using this stuff day to day? There was data from the AMA showing AI use among physicians jumped 78% in 1 year.
It did, but the use is very pragmatic. It's for workflow, things like documentation, summarizing patient charts, generating care plans. Assistive diagnosis is still completely off limits. The liability concerns are just too high. So they're embracing AI assistance, not AI replacements.
And for the rest of us, ChatGPT has streamlined its interface. They merged voice and text into one single chat window, so you can watch text answers appear and see images or maps while you're talking to it.
So to pull it all together, we've seen the market demand concrete revenue leading to Meta's crash. We've seen the very definition of AI progress shift, thanks to Sutskever, from raw scale to pure research. And we've seen that productivity and job impact hitting the workforce at the same time.
So what does this all mean going forward? You have Meta, a company that just lost $200 billion in value, still pushing ahead with a $600 billion spending plan to buy more chips. And at the exact same time, you have Ilya Sutskever, one of the most respected minds in the field, saying that the age of scaling those chips is over. That research is the only path forward.
That contrast, that juxtaposition, it forces a really critical question for you to think about. If Sutskever is right, if architectural research is the new driver, not just brute compute, are we about to watch the world's biggest companies make the most expensive strategic blunder in history? Are they betting $600 billion on a strategy that's already obsolete?
It really makes you think about what that means for your own capital allocation, your time, your money, your career. What's the most critical resource in this new era? Is it a giant server farm or is it a brilliant, dedicated research team? Something to keep thinking about. Thanks for joining the Deep Dive.
And that's our strategic rundown for November 26, 2025. The key takeaway today is the pivot from more to smarter. If Ilya Sutskever is right and scaling is dead, the companies that win next won't be the ones with the biggest data centers, but the ones with the best reasoning architectures. Combine that with Claude Opus 4.5 outperforming human engineers, and your quarter one hiring strategy needs an immediate review. This brings us back to our core mission: stop marketing to the masses, start briefing the C-suite. If you need to position your brand as the authority amidst these shifting market forces, we should talk immediately. Leverage our zero-noise intelligence to own the conversation in your industry. Secure your strategic podcast consultation. Now, the link is in the show notes. Finally, if this briefing helped you unravel any aspect of AI today, please like and subscribe to AI Unraveled on your preferred platform. This podcast is researched, produced, and created by Etienne Newman, senior software engineer and passionate soccer dad from Canada, and we'll be back tomorrow with your next strategic briefing.